Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Joe O'Reilly was sent to jail in 2007 after being found guilty of the brutal murder of his wife Rachel Callaly in the Nall, County Dublin in 2004. Gardaí finally arrested O'Reilly when his affair was uncovered and his whereabouts on the day of the murder were revealed. In a new three-part series kicking off tonight, The Case I Can't Forget, retired Gardaí detective inspector and author of Making of a Detective, Pat Murray, who is a senior investigator in the case, explains just how Gardaí managed to finally get their man. And Pat is in the studio with me now ahead of that documentary going out tonight on RT1 television at 9:35. Pat, you're very welcome. Gosh, I watched the documentary and it just brings it all back. It was such a high profile case at the time, wasn't it?
It was very high profile, but it's amazing when you're actually working on the case, you're not as tuned into how profile it was. It was only after, let's say, the trial and after things were beginning to calm down that we realised how the public had bought into this case, like, you know.
Yeah, and I was looking back on it and I remember at the time wondering when your suspicions were raised about him.
Yeah, well, our suspicions were raised and there were only suspicions in respect of why he was lying to us and covering up. Like on the night we went to his mother's house and I interviewed him with two other detectives and spoke to him about, like, you know, what he did for the day and explain his movements. And I asked one question, it always stuck me. I said, the first question I asked him, who would have killed Rachel? I said, had she any enemies? And he says, no enemies. And I said, maybe she was having an affair and it was a disgruntled wife had a, you know, no, neither of us were having affairs. And so that always struck with me. It's sort of like this had happened in a nanosecond. I said, why would he bring himself under that, the answer to that? So as the conversation went on and I was getting his explaining to me where he was that day and how he, you know, he got up at 5:30 in the morning or whatever and went to the gym and then went into work on that. But I was saying to him then again, I said, are you having an affair? And he looked at me and he says, no, I'm not having an affair. But I just knew by his body movement, it's just his demeanour, that there was something more in this. Like, mm-hmm. You know?
So you had an instinct at that point?
Yeah, I had an instinct at that time that, like, you know, he was lying. So it went on another little bit and I asked him for his shoes, which was a very important aspect. And, you know, he went off and he got his shoes and he was a long time gone getting his shoes and he gave them to us. We put them into an evidence bag and we told him the reason we wanted his shoes because we wanted to eliminate shoes marks at the scene and that, like, you know, to see was there any shoe print there that wasn't associated
with
the
house,
people who
are
yeah. And he said, fine. And he gave us those and that was it. And then before I went, I said, look at Joe. I said, are you having an affair? Are you having an affair? And I looked him straight in the eye and I went close to him and he was looking at me and he was looking me straight in the eye, like, you know. And I think he felt that maybe I knew something or maybe he sort of, maybe this will come out or whatever. And then he said, yeah, I was having an affair. And I said, who are you having an affair with? I was having an affair with a girl called Nikki Pelly, he said. But it's all over now, he said. It's finished with, and I don't want my family to know. And I asked him then, I says, well, when was the last time you spoke with her? Well, today at 12 o'clock, you know. And I said, fine. So, you know, armed with that information, obviously, we went and had a look at his phone records. And we could see, like, he was talking to her in the morning at 5:30 in the morning for 25 minutes or 27 minutes. And they had contacted each other between that and 8 o'clock a number of times.
So that obviously changed things in your mind.
Yes.
Can I talk to you about his behaviour in the couple of days after the murder? Because I know it was really unsettling for Rose and for Jim,
yes, yeah.
Rachel's parents, who people will know, they're such lovely people.
Beautiful, lovely people, yes.
And at one stage, he invited them back into the house when all the forensics were done.
Yeah,
and
on the 13th of October, yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, this is after we had, like, there was a bizarre time as well because we had to give the house back to Joe. And it was at a time when the house was being preserved. Joe appeared at the scene to say that he had a dream from, and Rachel was in the dream and Rachel was telling him there was a dumbbell and a towel missing from the house and he had this in his dream. So, like, obviously the Garda didn't let him in and documented that and told us about it. And, you know, but when we give the house back to Joe, you know, we took him through the house and he says, oh, there's a dumbbell missing and a Shimba Hills towel. Now, how he could tell that, I don't know, but that's what he said. And the place was still plenty of blood in it in at the scene. And we offered Joe to get in a, and the guards would pay for it, a contract company that would clean up the house for him and that. And he said, no, leave it there. He says, I'll get the lads, some of the lads to come down and we'll clean it up. I thought that was bizarre. Like, you know, I thought he would jump at the chance. I think anyone half right would do it, like would ask us to do it. But anyway, on the 13th of October, he rang Rose and said to Rose, like, look, I'm here in the house and I'm getting a great sense of peace and I would like you to come down and experience this peace, like, you know. And Rose and Jim went down and Paul Callaly and his wife Denise, and they came down to the house. And the first thing Joe asked me, he says, do you want to listen to the call to Rachel on the phone, the you know, the messages on the phone? And they weren't, they said no. And of course Joe went over and pressed it anyway, and it was him ringing on his way out to the house on the fort, saying, oh, I'll be out there, I miss you, I'm really worried now, and this, that and the other. So he was giving them the impression, oh, sure, it couldn't be me, I was on my way out, like. And that's the only reason he played it. And then he brought them down to the scene and went through, enacted what he believed, how she died. And they were really shocked because
he felt sick.
He went, but that was very important to us to capture all of that in statement format, because it matched in with what Mary Cassidy believed, how she
was. He was telling us.
So it was very important that, like, and there was other aspects through the investigation that you have, like, you know, we believed he put a letter in the coffin. And he wrote a letter and put it in, like, you know. And I remember in Rose Callaly's house that day, myself and Detective Garda Peter McCoy, and we were talking about, you know, the funeral and that. And then she, oh yeah, and Joe put in a letter in. And I remember the two of us looked at each other because we were both taught the same. What's in the letter?
Yeah.
And that letter proved, I wouldn't say over fruitful, but there was, it was two pages. And in the second page, there was certainly a line that stood out with me, and it said, Rachel, this is one of the hardest letters I ever had to write, for reasons only me and you know.
Okay, I want to talk about the Late Late Show appearance as well. I know you didn't approve of that. He said that you did, but you didn't even know about it.
No, I didn't.
Rose reflects on his appearance in the documentary that we're going to see tonight. We'll have a listen.
With me tonight, Rachel's husband Joe and her mother Rose. Tell me a little bit about Rachel, Joe. What sort of a woman was she?
Just a normal woman.
At that stage, I couldn't bear to be in his company because I knew, you know, he had murdered Rachel. You know, to have to sit beside him, it was awful now. I just was recoiling. And when he'd say something, I'd feel like jumping up and running off. To be honest with you, that night, my whole thing was getting through it and not to react to him at all. It was an ordeal, I can tell you.
We just feel it's someone she would have known or someone she could have identified.
No, she didn't know you well enough. That makes me physically ill. Like, he's literally speaking to himself. It will just send chills up your back.
That's Rose there talking about the appearance of herself and Joe on The Late Late Show that time, which is just, I mean, it's astonishing really when you listen back to it, Pat. But as you were saying, Joe, Jim and Rose, you became really good friends with them, didn't you?
Yes, I think in any of the murders I investigated, I always am very strong that the family are part of the investigation, that they're kept informed and they're, you know, that you build a bond with the families. And I remember it was Rachel's birthday a week or two after she was murdered, like her birthday date. And I called to them that day and I brought them a bunch of flowers and they were probably wondering, what's this guy coming with flowers like, you know? But we sat down and we talked and I shook hands with Rose and we held hands and I said, look, I'm in charge. I'm going to do my best for you. I'll be honest with you And that's like, just bear with me. Mm-hmm. I might make mistakes, I might not. But I said, if I do, I'll tell you, but just bear with me. And it was in the handshake, and that she just knew that, you know, she was putting her trust in me and I trusted them. And that's the bond that was, and it lasted
and continues to
and
this
continues,
day.
Yeah, doesn't it? Absolutely, yeah.
Listen, we have to leave it there, but the programme is on tonight, and it's such a great watch, Pat. The Case I Can't Forget, RT1 Television tonight at 9:35. And just before we go, we wish Jim and Rose all the best. I'm sure it isn't easy for them; it never is. But they're so strong, and they're such great people. Let's take a break.